This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to episode 36 of the Women's Running Podcast and our 10th workshop. I'm Esther Newman, editor of Women's Running, and in this episode, Holly and I are talking easy running. We have the virtual Vitality 10K at the end of May to train for, but after 2020 and also us training for our virtual half in March, I want us both to take this easy. We begin by talking about imposter syndrome, which it turns out both of us suffer from without explicitly mentioning it, in terms of team sports at school, and how our lacklustre performances at which have led to us embracing a sport that focuses less on competition, if you don't want it to. We also talk vaguely and ridiculously about COVID testing, not doing our strength training, and the takeaways that we have employed as a result of our hip strength training in episode 9 of the Women's Running Workshop. We also talk about not taking that 10k distance for granted. So yes, while I don't want us to bust a gut in training beforehand, everyone that's doing the Vitality 10K with us should be respectful of that distance. If, like us, you're not doing a huge amount of training but still want to do it, then take it slowly and at a pace you're comfortable with. This could mean walking the whole way or parts of it, and it's the perfect opportunity to catch up with a running buddy. But whatever you do, learn from my mistakes and don't do it 3 times over and end up with a stress fracture. So there's a bit of easy training advice on that 10K distance at the end, if you can bear to put up with Holl and I cackling about audiobooks that make us snot cry while we run. Please join us at the Virtual Vitality London 10K this May half term. You can walk, jog or run your 10K. Time is not an issue. Go to vitalitylondon10000.co.uk to sign up. And if you choose women's running as where you've heard about it, you'll be entered into a competition to win a pair of New Balance shoes too. Podcast listeners can claim the best discount we have for membership to Women's Running. Honest, it's better than anything anywhere else. Go to shop.womensrunning.co.uk and enter WRPOD at the checkout to get a whopping 35% off. Come and join Women's Running. We'd love to have you with us.
Yeah, the kids have been mental. It's the last day of the Easter holidays, so they've been going absolutely ballistic. They haven't been out of the house, so they're like little dogs in the back of cars in supermarket car parks, but in a sort of kind of crappy kind of pulling each other's hair out sort of way.
And Dave's have they been have they still been doing the football club that they were doing?
Yes, they have. Felix went on Monday and they're going back on Sunday morning, and Ted has grudgingly said that he enjoyed the Sunday morning one. So
nice,
double thumbs up. So we do feel like, I mean, it's only been 1 week, but we did feel like spectacular parents. Do you know what I mean? We're like, oh my God, we've taken our kids to a sporting club and they've both enjoyed it. This is amazing. And we both have enjoying sport kind of children, because we're not enjoying sport kind of people. Well, not team sport. So,
I know. I was talking about that with Doug the other day, saying I'm not an enjoying sport kind of person, because he said that he was talking about running and saying, oh, I never do any exercise and you're really good at getting up and doing it. And I was like, not without a goal and a kind of, like, without the kind of, I don't know, the support that we give each other and things, I think I'd be rubbish. I'm not an enjoying sport person.
I'm not. It's really interesting, isn't it? Like, I've ended up, you know, editing a magazine about running, and I really, you know, I was watching the kids do football and being quite sort of amazed by them and their enjoyment of it. Like, they're obviously enjoying their own kind of movement and their own, which is great, which is the bit I do understand. But the bit that I've never really enjoyed is the kind of the team aspect of it. And I think for many of us, I think particularly girls and women and stuff, it's like, it's being forced into stuff like netball and
netball does come to mind for me though as well. I wasn't ever a big fan. Or hockey. I was rubbish at hockey.
Oh, I was crap at hockey. Yeah. I quite liked volleyball. I remember I was talking about that just the other day, and I quite liked that.
I don't think I played volleyball. That's quite exotic.
Isn't it? Yeah, it was a very, very big South London comprehensive I went to, and I think they were just desperate trying to find stuff that we'd be interested in, and football and netball just weren't cutting the mustard. So yeah, they introduced volleyball, and both me and my brother really, really liked it. I don't know why. Maybe I was good at it, because I don't really like things unless I'm good at them immediately.
Yeah, me too. I don't like being crap at things. It's just not very fun, is it?
It's not fun. It is not fun. Which makes me wonder why I've continued to run all this time, because I don't think I'm particularly good at
it. No, I'm not good at it at all either. I think the reason that I have carried on with that is maybe it's a comparison thing. Maybe I don't like being rubbish compared to everybody else. And so team sports were always a bit, I always felt like Anne Robinson would have described me as the weakest link, and I really didn't feel like I was any use on any of those kind of teams. And running's just a me thing, that I'm not very competitive. I don't look at other people's Strava things or worry about times or things too much. And
I think good. I'm exactly the same. I think like the sports that I enjoyed when I was a kid, like I did some running when I was a teenager. I started to really enjoy it when I was in my 20s, but what I really liked was swimming. And I think it has the same thing, you know, that you're kind of on your tod and you're doing it. And I remember swimming in a gala once. It was the Lewisham Swimming Gala, you know, quite important.
Yeah, that sounds quite exciting. I used to pretend I was on my period and never do any of those things.
So I did it, and I came away with a gold medal, but there is a massive, massive proviso to that, because I remember, so all the parents were kind of in the gods kind of thing, looking over the gallery. And I remember my mum said to me after that I looked like I was, in quotes, just enjoying myself. Like, I didn't, and I, what I used to love, my favourite stroke was backstroke. So she could tell that I looked like I was just enjoying myself.
Yeah, because you had a little smiley face.
My little blissed out kind of, I'm just going to take it at my own pace. And I didn't actually get gold, I got silver. But the girl in front of me, I think, turned over in the water to touch the sides and so was disqualified. They were quite harsh in those days. I don't think the same things would apply now.
It's not backstroke, is it, if you're on your front?
Well, I guess it's not. But it seemed a bit harsh at the time. She was fast. I was not fast. I was second, and I got the gold medal anyway. And I remember thinking, I'm not sure I deserve this, but I'll take it, you know, whatever. And I didn't want to go faster. I liked the speed I was going. That felt comfortable to me. And I think that's coloured how I felt about sport ever since, which is,
I think that's really lovely. I think that's nice to have, even at that, even in a competitive environment, I've just been like, I'm just going to do what I like doing, and this feels comfortable and enjoyable rather than...
Yeah, and maybe that's a moral for all of us. If we just take it at our own pace, there's a chance we might get a gold medal just because the one in front of us was
naughty.
Trying too hard.
Yeah, exactly. That's how I live my life, really. I only ever win things because somebody else messed up and I was just quietly waiting in the wings.
Yeah, that big jar
perpetual
of toffee
understudies.
Yeah. Yes. always the case,
but nothing wrong with it, as is proven in the story,
as is completely proven. And yeah, that's going to be true of all people in all sport for all time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, come second. How has your running been since we've not spoken about your running for such a long time, because we did our half and then we've spoken to Victoria about hips. We had a debrief after our half and then we've done that. But it means that I think for about 4 weeks, we haven't really spoken about what you've been doing. So what have you been doing?
So for the 2 weeks following, I think I had a week off after the half. I thought about having a run over that weekend, like the week after, and I didn't want to. And I thought, well, I'm not going to make myself do that because I'm just going to relax. I don't need to force myself to do anything. Then I did some quite nice, just kind of gentle, not worrying too much about pace or distance, probably about 5K, because that's my kind of local little route that I like doing, little potters. And then it all slightly has gone a bit pear-shaped because I've been so poorly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I got really ill about 10 days ago, and it is just about starting to get to a point where I could probably manage a run. But I haven't run for 10 days because it's quite a chesty cough.
Yeah,
I did have a COVID test, and it's not COVID.
Yay.
It was horrid, and I was nearly sick all over the testing center. But I did discover that it was negative, so that was good. But
why was it horrible?
Whatever it is.
What was horrible about this?
I really didn't enjoy sticking a cotton swab down my throat.
Oh.
No, it was a very strange experience. I did have a big old gag everywhere. They had sick bags. I didn't realise they do this, but they have sick bags ready for you.
That seems a bit, I don't know, dramatic for a cotton.
I know. It was more horrible than I was expecting. The actual kind of, I don't want to put anybody off because the system was very relaxed. I think because there are so few cases in Bath as well. I rung up and booked a test and then I turned up and they went, oh, hello, Holly. And so I felt quite famous already on it. I felt like I was getting kind of special treatment. I was the only person there. It was completely dead. And it was all very relaxed and very organized. I sat in front of a little thing and I had... Have you had one?
No, I've just ordered some.
Have you?
I know.
Well, maybe at home, it will all be a little bit nicer. And it was fine. The nose bit was absolutely fine. It was just the throat bit. I had a little mirror that they provided me with so that I could see my tonsils. And you have to go right on your own tonsils and not touching any other bit of your mouth. And that was really strange and nasty. Yeah, but... all good. I'm really glad that I did it because then I felt a bit more comfortable about life. I have still got this nasty. I mean, it's obviously just a cold or a flu-y thing that's not COVID, but I've just still got this slightly nasty chesty thing. So I'm hoping this weekend I'm going to be fit to run again, but I've been a bit, even going up the stairs, I have a coughing fit for about 10 minutes afterwards at the moment.
Yeah.
So it's put it all on pause a bit, which has been a bit rubbish.
Well, that's fine. It's fine, Hol. And absolutely the worst thing you can do right now is run. I really wouldn't until you're absolutely, you know, until you can walk up your road, which, dear listeners, is
steep.
Until you can walk up there at a fair lick without coughing or without any kind of pain or anything, don't even consider putting your trainers on. I just, it's so dangerous to run when you've got a chesty cough or a chesty kind of, you know, it could
feel like the right thing.
It's absolutely not the right thing. And they always, like, one of the kind of key markers for running and illness is if it's above the neck. And to be honest, I don't think I have ever had a cold which has remained above the neck.
No, it always sinks, doesn't it? Because that was what it was for the first couple of days. And I probably could have run then. I was just so congested that it felt a bit nasty.
Yeah.
But it then it did the classic sort of moving down, and it, that's where it sat for the last week or so.
You can do yourself so much more harm than good if you have to run and you're not fully well.
Well, that's good to know.
I really, really wouldn't, and certainly don't feel any guilt, because I've just been totting up before we got on the phone how many weeks we've got until the 10K, and we've got loads of time, Holly. So
it's
really,
actually really nice, isn't it? Yeah. I was looking at the calendar the other day because of said running hiatus panic that I realised I hadn't done any kind of, because I only did a couple of gentle runs after our half marathon and then got ill, I hadn't done any serious training, and I actually felt very relaxed looking at our schedule. Yeah. We've got loads of time. It's
absolutely
all good.
And I think getting on to the next bit, because what I was going to ask was what you wanted to get out of it, out of running the 10K, because both of us will have different sort of things in our heads about what we want to do or to achieve. I think if you're not pushing yourself to some kind of quite hard goal to achieve, because it's going to be in the next 6 or 7 weeks, it's in that half term week, the end of May. If you're not pushing yourself to some massive goal, there is no reason why you need to start worrying about, or you shouldn't worry anyway, but you certainly don't need to think about adhering to some kind of training plan right now, particularly because your base work at the beginning of the year because of the half marathon is all still there. You know, you still got it. You haven't kind of lost tons and tons of
fitness. Don't feel like I've lost it either. When I had my blip after half marathon one, I definitely, because I left it for a few months, I really felt the difficulty in going back. It's not been nearly as long, but also generally, I've been doing lots of walking, bit of running. So I don't feel like I've lost it in the same way that I did before. So I think my goal, I hadn't really thought about it, but I think what is motivating me about it is wanting to feel, so both of the times that I did the half marathon, I loved it and it was such an amazing challenge and I was just walking on clouds afterwards.
Yeah.
Well, I was walking on horrible blisters, but I felt metaphorically. But this time, I think they were a bit of a scramble to the finish. You know, the last couple of miles of something or the last stretch of something is mentally, that's always going to be difficult, whatever the distance. Mm-hmm. But I think I would like to feel, I just like to run it really comfortably. I think that's my goal for this one.
I think that is a superb goal. Mm-hmm. I think, is there, aside from your, aside from kind of coughs and colds and stuff, are there any other concerns that you have in terms of your fitness?
Not really in terms of fitness. I need to get better at my strength training because I'm so rubbish. I haven't done any of that since before half marathon time. Zero strength training since.
Naughty. And what about Victoria's strength stuff? Have you looked at any of that?
I've been thinking about more. I tell you what I've really taken away from that conversation was, because obviously should have been doing them, but I haven't had the hip niggle. Yeah, that is the right way around. Yeah. Because I've not been doing anything too strenuous on it. And I think it really is only as we chatted with her, when I pushed beyond the kind of 10K mark, that I start to get the pain. So I've been very naughty and I've not really done my exercises, though I will throughout the 10K training, because I don't want to end up in that position again. But I have been thinking a lot more about my general position and how I hold myself, and trying to sit at my desk and trying to walk with the stuff in mind. Like, I'm so rubbish at sitting properly and kind of aligning my hips and knees and feet. Just as soon as I stop thinking about it. So I've been trying to gently train myself with some of that kind of like muscle memory things, so that I'm in a better position, that I'm not being horrible to my hip flexors in my daily life before I properly start that training. But I think I need to have a bit of a plan of shaking up that strength training that we did before for the half marathon, which I think we did. It was like a plank, some press-ups and some squats. I think shaking some of that up with some of the hip exercises that Victoria suggested, thrown in the mix. Yeah. And I think, I'll feel a bit stronger than I did. It was the only thing that was an issue with the half marathon. It was only the last long run and then the race itself.
Yeah.
That it was sore.
Fair enough. Yeah, I think that, yes, I remember that. That's exactly the same as me, really. That's when you start really noticing weaknesses, really, basically, as soon as you get over a certain distance. Yeah, and I am appalling at doing strength work. Absolutely appalling at it.
Oh, so rubbish.
So, and particularly if it's something that you have to do on your own with no direction, never ever going to do it. So the thing that I'm chuffed to bits about is that when I do my boot camp, which is an actual session over Zoom mostly, and certainly over the last 4 months it has been, sometimes in real life. And the good thing about those, because I do those two or three times a week, depending on whether I can be bothered to get up. But the good thing about those is that while all the exercises are different each time, it's not like I can say to Steph, please, can you make sure that there's always this, that, and the other. Mm-hmm. And like yesterday, it was purely arms, I think, yesterday, which was quite painful. But what's really good is that she always starts a session with mobility exercises. Which is really, really good. And I think because she's around about my age, she has a real focus on backs, which is my massive weakness. So I do feel like at least three times a week, I'm doing my cat cows and my bird dogs and
nice.
Glute bridges and things like that. So I feel like I'm doing that sort of stuff. And she makes you squat really low, uncomfortably low, and things like that. So you're kind of getting your hips engaged and your ankles and knees.
Somebody tell you, not somebody tell you off, but you know, we've said this before, haven't we? Yeah. I sometimes quite like to be told off a bit. I like somebody to be standing over me, really making sure that I'm doing it, because otherwise I can be a bit naughty.
Well, I can't recommend doing something like that more highly, actually, and investing in something like Move GB or Class Pass or just tapping up someone that does a boot camp in your general area. Especially if you've paid for it, then you do it.
That's the really big motivator. That was so I used to be a bit better with strength training stuff. This was before really getting into running, but a few years ago I had a gym membership, and it was just a Class Pass one. Mm-hmm. So I didn't know what I was doing with any of the equipment, and I found it very intimidating going and hanging out with all the protein shake people and feeling completely inadequate.
Protein shake people.
Yeah. I don't fit in with the protein shake people, though I have the utmost respect for them. It's not my tribe. So I would only go to the classes, and I found, I did a bit of yoga and I did a bit of Pilates, but I also did like a kind of core and strength and stability class. And that was amazing. I loved doing that. And I stopped the gym membership when I started running because I wasn't going so much anymore. And I realized that running was free, which was an excellent class.
Yeah.
But having booked a class in, like I would sit at the beginning of the week and book in two or three things for the week. And the fact that I knew that my gym membership wasn't worth it unless I went to a couple of things a week was really good at disciplining me and making me go, well, I've got to find the time. I've got to find the time to do a couple of things, because otherwise I'm wasting my 30 quid a month or whatever it is.
Yeah. I sometimes feel a bit funny about the fact that I underuse my Move GB membership, but I know that I can probably do at least another thing at least a week. And I don't. And also I don't kind of go outside my comfort zone. I don't do more than just the boot camps that I've always only ever done. And maybe I should be kind of also doing a bit of yoga. I should definitely be doing a bit of yoga. I should definitely be doing something like that, or Pilates or something. And I just don't go out of my comfortable comfort zone, and I just stick to what I know. But I think because it's now so ingrained, particularly since first lockdown, like I know that I will do Steph's classes on a Monday, a Thursday, and a Saturday. I'm like, right, you know that. And even while the kids were being homeschooled and stuff, where I didn't actually need to be up and out of bed until like 8:30, I was still doing the kind of 7 o'clock classes. And it helped so much to give me that kind of pattern to my day and to get rid of it before breakfast. It's like, oh, I've done it.
Yeah. Now. I remember talking about this when we first started working together, about how lovely and smug it is to have gone for a run and then, or, you know, done an exercise class or something, and then just sit there for the rest of the day going, I've done mine.
There's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. I loved it. I used to love it when we were in the office. I used to love hearing people around me saying, oh, shall I go for a run now?
And yeah, that was
like 5 o'clock. Well, maybe it was you. Yeah.
I think it was definitely me.
It was definitely Andy. Most of us. I remember.
Yeah.
And I would hear that and I would just sort of sit there go, oh, no, no, no.
The poor fools.
You need to get up at 6:30. Because I knew that I just had to kind of, you know, haul my ass back home and sit in front of a fish finger sandwich, and that was me done.
Mm-hmm.
So and the smugness, the all day smug, it can sometimes last up to 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, it sticks with you. It's just
like
wonderful.
A 2 day hangover, but all of the good things.
All of the good things. Mm-hmm. What are the good things from a hangover?
Yeah, I was going to say nothing to do with the hangover. Really, scratch that.
No, I know. I like it. I like the concept. It's just like, it's a sort of anti-hangover, isn't it?
It is. It's the feeling when you're not hungover after you've been hungover all day, and then you're like, look at why did I ever take my health for granted? Look at my amazing body. look at me breathe and live.
Yeah.
It's that feeling.
Exactly. Exactly that.
Yeah. Being able to eat solid food and feel completely normal and just relish in your own health. That's the feeling.
That's the feeling. It's absolutely the feeling. Oh my God. Well, I must admit, like, I've been, because I was thinking about, I've been talking to a few people about doing the Vitality 10K. And last time when I did it in, when was that? End of October. Did you do it then? I've forgotten.
No, I don't think I did.
Right. Well,
October last year.
Yeah, last year.
Last year. But not the real.
Not the real. No. It was virtual again. Mm. And I don't think I did. Well, the thing is, I took it for granted last year a bit. Or I took the distance for granted because I'd done the marathon at the beginning of October, and it was just 10K at the end. And I just thought, well, it's just 10K, isn't it? And so rule number one was, don't take 10K for granted.
I think that's what I'm in slight danger of doing, of just being like, well, I did a half marathon a few weeks ago, so what should I do? Probably just have a couple of bottles of wine for... That's my training sorted.
Well, and what I've said, I've said it to a couple of people since then, is that I managed to screw up technology, which is absolutely my forte, along with volleyball. And I was in that half term week, I set off to do my 10K, and I failed 3 times in a row, I think. So the first time, I had set my watch to miles rather than kilometers.
I remember this.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
And so I stopped dead in my tracks. So I turned my watch off. I didn't actually stop running. I turned my watch off. I stopped the run because I thought it had to be exact at what I thought was 10K, and it was actually 9.8K. Mm-hmm. So it didn't sync with the Vitality's computer thing, system technology thing. And then I think there was another one where I went for a really, really long run, which ended up being about a half marathon, I think. But it was just a trot kind of thing. And that didn't sink. And so then I did it again. But by the third time I did it, which I think then did sink, by that stage, I'd run so much mileage that week that I think as a result, I had a small stress fracture at the top of my foot.
Oh, nasty.
Yeah. Mm. And I just ran through it. So that was a bit stupid. And then that meant that I couldn't run for another 5 or 6 weeks, I think, until it had fully healed. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to
You're
take
not
it.
A good history, actually, with the Vitality 10K.
No.
Which is good because it's extra fire for this time round to be a good experience.
For sure. Absolutely. And I think I just want to... I think I've learned... Also, from our half marathon experience, which I personally didn't enjoy very much. And I, because I've also in a couple of weeks, it's in a week's time, I'm doing that 20 miler.
Quite exciting.
I'm really excited about that. I'm really looking forward to it. And I want to take what I've learned from the half marathon and what I learned from Vitality last year to my advantage with the Vitality this year, which is to take it slow and to make sure everything is sinking, and just to take it at a slow pace. Like, so the 20 mile, I have no fear about that whatsoever, apart from trying to get up in time because it starts really, really super early. But apart from that, I have no fear, because it's just that no one's judging me. There is no finish line particularly. In fact, I think there are 5 or 6 checkpoints around Bath, and where you start is where you finish. So some people will be finishing where I'm finishing and some people won't. And there are staggered start times. So
That's really nice.
I fully think that I will be doing most of it completely on my own, which is perfect. And I won't be running all of it. So I'm not going to try for a time. I'm just going to try and get back in time for lunch, I think, is basically my main goal, because food is good.
That's always a good goal.
It is. And with the 10K, I just think I'll just make that my long run that week and just, take it at an enjoyable pace, really, and listen to my audiobooks.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a really interesting one for me as well. I run faster, I think, when I'm listening to an audiobook or something, and I can slightly just zone out. And I have noticed the difference with that. That my slowest runs have been the half itself last, 2020, whenever it was, which was great and I loved it, but I did run it slower than I expected to. And I think that's because that was the first time. I mean, it could have been loads of things, couldn't it? The congestion of people and like, but that was the first time that I hadn't run with my headphones in during all of that training. I think that was a thing. And then my last couple of long runs, because I ran with my friend Lex and we chatted the whole time, also a big factor that I didn't have the lung capacity to run as quickly as. But I think that's a really good one for me, is completely getting in the zone and sticking an audiobook on, listening to Louis Theroux talk to me for an hour.
I was going to ask you what you're listening to. Is that what you're listening to at the moment?
At the moment, I'm doing John Ronson, Men Who Stare at Goats.
Oh,
and? Very interesting. I like a John Ronson. I quite like his delivery of things. And they're all quite kind of, I've been working my way through, because he's got lots of kind of like sort of documentary style kind of nonfiction things that I like. I like a bit of a what makes a person a psychopath or something as I'm jogging along.
That sounds so relaxing. I've made some huge mistakes with my audiobooks recently.
Have you misspent credits, which is always sad?
Well, yes and no. Everything I've listened to has been absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. But mostly has made me cry when I run. And I find running hard enough as it is, running and crying is impossible. So there are times when I've actually had to stop. So I did American Dirt, which I finished a couple of weeks ago. And there was a bit there where I honestly, snot coming out of nose crying.
Big
kind of, these people are my people crying.
Yeah.
And then
I'm a book crier as well. I'm glad you're a book crier. I'm terrible for it.
I'm
more
noisy
than film things, because you've committed your so many hours of yourself.
Oh my God. And I think also because the last two books, that one and Where the Crawdads Sing, with both of those, neither of them, when I first started listening to them, did I think, oh yeah, this is the kind of book I like. Neither of them felt as though they were sort of the thing that I would enjoy listening to. And so they were slow burners for me, but both of them great chunky numbers, and so they were good kind of 16-hour pluses. And by the Crawdads, I actually remember where it hurt me so much that I actually remember where I was when that novel finished.
I remember where I was when I finished The Testaments.
Oh God, that was good.
That was good.
I read that with my eyes rather than my ears. That was great.
Did you? I should have read it with my eyes. I think it would have been a bit better to read with eyes. But that was my first round half marathon training book, and yeah. I loved it.
I just don't know. I think what I need to do is to move away from the crying literary ones and leave them for bedside reading kind of stuff, mm-hmm. and listen to kind of fluffy nonsense. And this isn't nonsense, but I am listening to Catelyn Moran, the mm-hmm. what's her latest one? It's not How to Be a Woman, it's More Than a Woman, I think it's called. It's kind of her sort of 40 plus one, which, and mm-hmm. I listened to the How to Be a Woman, I listened to that about a year ago, I think, and really enjoyed it. And I do really like Catelyn Moran, and she narrates them herself. And this one is much more kind of, it's less laugh out loud, but there are some laugh out loud bits. But particularly I was talking to Dave, she was doing a bit where I sort of came back, and again, this stopped me. I was running along the canal and I tripped up because I laughed, because she was talking about the differences between men and women. Well, I'm sure there are other differences, but this appeared to be quite an intense difference, and one I'd not considered until she talked mm-hmm. about it, which was the way in which we sneeze. And she said that when she sneezes, she either holds them in or she does little achoos. Mm-hmm. But she said when her husband sneezes, there is a momentous kind of build-up where he, first of all, braces himself. She said, a bit like a rabbit in Watership Down, sort of staring.
Yes, looking for the light. I have to admit, yeah. I'm about to break the stereotype. This is me.
I do that.
All the things you're describing, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But that he also clutches, if she is nearby, clutches the top of her arm to sort of brace himself before he does it. And then when it comes, that the children shout down from upstairs to see if everything's all right, because the noise has been so momentous. And that he has to sit down and it looks as though he needs a little nap afterwards. And I thought, yes, yes. Anyway, so that made me laugh while I was on a run. And that was not also conducive. So I need to listen to something quite boring, I think, next time.
Yeah, it is. I've done a few. Actually, I was reading in our run club on Facebook, for anybody who's not already part of it. do join. But there have been lots of chats in there at the moment about what people listen to when they run. And lots of people talk about true crime. And I can't I can't do true crime. I love a true crime, but I can't do that when I'm running along. It feels a bit ominous to me. I can't do anything like sort of a Shag Married Annoyed or a My Dad Wrote a Porno or anything either, because I end up doing big sort of laughs in people's faces as I go past. Not acceptable behavior either. I like a non-fiction audiobook where I'm not going to get too emotional.
Good. But it's treading that absolute fine line between being entertained but not being entertained enough. And it's like, you know,
you don't actually want to end up going, oh god, I've got to stop and go back, actually I missed that was quite important. You want something that's a bit fluffy that you can definitely go, oh never mind, I didn't catch any of that, but probably doesn't affect anything.
Exactly. Yeah. So, and I have listened to like great big massive literary novels, like I was listening to The Goldfinch while I was doing mm-hmm. the marathon. Massive great thing. Wasn't hugely invested in it, so it didn't matter if 4 hours just washed over me slightly. So that was pretty good. Listening to kind of biography is quite good.
Yes, that was the Louis Theroux that I did. I did do Got to Get Through This, and I really enjoyed it. I loved it. Oh. I loved it.
Did you see his interview in The Guardian this weekend where he was all in leather?
No.
It's hilarious. Not in the way in which you might think either. It's a kind of brown leather flared suit. It's quite... Ooh. Quite the thing, yeah.
I can see him, and he used to be a bit of a brown leather jacket sort of person. Yeah, I think that was the only downside that I had as a Louis fan, because mm-hmm. I've seen all the documentaries and things. A lot of it is just him chatting about things that we've already seen him do and say, but it was exactly that then. That was why it was good, I think, because mm-hmm. for those I could kind of zone out and go, I saw this one when he, I don't know, had a WWE fight or something. And then I could, and then I could sort of switch off a little bit, and it wasn't so important whether I, if I was taking it all in. But yeah, that's the key, isn't it? It's the kind of interesting enough that you're not dying of boredom as you're doing like clocking up like 2 hour plus runs, but also also not too interesting.
I think you know, I think I hit the zenith, can I say that, is that right? I don't know. I hit the pinnacle of listening to stuff with the first book I ever listened to, which was Lady in Waiting, that was written by Princess Margaret's Lady in Waiting, who's another, who's a sort of lady, I think she's a Lady Margaret herself, I've forgotten the family that she's from, but she's definitely from landed gentry. And I have very little interest in the royal family, and I had no idea who she was until I just decided on a whim to download it and listen to it. But it was fascinating, full of kind of gossip, but very gentle gossip in terms of the royals are concerned, and it's very affectionate. But in terms of her own family, all sorts went on, and that was a great kind of, I've no idea who this person is, I'm not really invested in them particularly, but this is a good 20 hours of a very, very posh woman talking in my ear about certain things that they did, and that was great. So maybe I should do more of that.
That's the kind of thing as well that sometimes on telly, like if you're doing your strength training, or if you're doing something that is a bit of a sort of mindless task and you want something on in the background, you just want sort of a solid, you know, 20 hours of a series of people shouting at each other or something.
I'm never, ever going to do strength training in front of Schitt's Creek. Ever.
No, because you want to take things in.
I do.
That's why I did all my strength training for the half marathon in front of Below Deck. Because, you know, it was another day. There was probably going to be another grumpy man with a lot of money on a catamaran. So I knew I wasn't missing anything when I was down in my plank grunting. I wasn't missing too much.
I think that's genius. Yeah,
I really hope that we're not the equivalent. I've just been thinking this as we've been having this conversation.
Oh my God, we're the equivalent of Below Deck.
Shout out to all the people who are running along right now thinking, yeah, actually this is just not interesting enough, but it's perfect to run to.
Oh my God, I'm sort of slightly devastated.
I'm slightly devastated. Are we going to have to cut that last 20 minutes of us perfectly describing our podcast?
Oh no, we're going to keep it in. We're keeping it in.
Yeah, we'll commit.
Oh my God, that's us, isn't it?
It
might be. Not entertaining enough, but just about diverting.
Yeah, but palatable. Ish. Very palatable.
Oh, we could have that as a strap line, couldn't we?
Very palatable.
Just about palatable and not too entertaining.
Get ready to slightly let out a very small, a gentle laugh, or just a tiny bit of a smile.
The glimmers of a smile, just a little. Yes. Yeah.
Get ready to learn a small amount, but not too much.
Not too much. Oh, no. Nothing you'd actually have to write down.
No, nothing serious.
Oh, well, that's nice.
It just goes to show, though, that I would be an avid listener, because I'd love to have something like that to run along to.
Me too, but then that means that basically we're just doing this for ourselves, aren't we?
Yeah, maybe we are the only, it's just us over and over again, thousands of times.
Is this narcissism? Yeah.
It might be. Yeah. Just doing it because I have always been told I like the sound of my own voice too much.
Oh, I like the sound of your voice, Hol.
I like the sound of your voice. I think that I think that's what makes it nice.
No one likes the sound of my voice. I sound like this little cockney, don't I, in the corner? Particularly next
and
to you.
I sound like a posho with a lisp. And that's why it works.
And that's why, as a double act, we should be tap dancing, shouldn't we? It'd be amazing.
Oh, I've got a properly raspy laugh as well today that I think I suit the sort of
that's true, actually.
Podcast woman. Yeah.
Yes, it's a good laugh.
Cackly podcast woman.
And I'm just developing my Sid James, obviously. So all good. Right, we've not talked about running for a good 30 minutes, so I reckon we can probably wrap up.
Yeah. Yeah. That might be it. Anything else about running that I need to tell you? I think just that I'm really liking it. And I think, let's do a sort of for anybody who wants to join,
yes,
what are we telling them? I suppose it's just,
well, I'm going to tell the whole thing about Vitality 10K is that you can walk, run, or jog it. And I don't, to be honest, I'm not that bothered about the differentiation between running and jogging, because all running is running, right? So let's forget the joggy thing. But you can walk it, or you can walk, run it, or you can, but the whole point of it is that it's about enjoying the time rather than using it as time to beat yourself up with. So I don't necessarily think, and this is quite contentious, that you need particularly to train for it if you don't wish to, because as long as you don't set off full pelt, and as long as you're not kind of doing a distance that you've never done before, I don't see why you can't just, despite all my terrible examples of last October, I don't see why, if you're sensible and not like me, why you can't just do it on a day of your choosing over half term, and but at your own pace, as long as you listen to your body. But I think what we can do is, the next time that we chat in a couple of weeks, we can talk about some proper kind of last few week training tips when you're heading towards that 10K. I think it's just, one thing is that a lot of people that have done a couch to 5K or something can think that the leap from a 5 to a 10 is massive, and it does feel massive. It's twice as long.
Yeah.
But all the work, all the big groundwork between 0 and 5K is, you've done that. And I personally don't think that going from 5 to 10 is anywhere near as hard as going from 0 to 5K. 0 to 5K is the really, really big one. That's the massive step.
I remember that being horrid when I very first started.
Yeah.
That felt like an age trying to get up to 5K. And I didn't even notice when I got to 10.
Yeah. Yeah. I just don't think
5 was the horrid.
I think going from kind of standing to 5 is such a huge thing, such a massive thing. Mm. And going from 5 to 10 just isn't, because by that stage you've learnt the basics, you've learnt how your body works, you've learnt how it moves, and you've learnt how it kind of grows and develops. So you know that to go from 5K to 6K, you know roughly how much time that will take, and you also know how to do that you could add that length, that kind of length on by adding in some more walk breaks even, or just running a little bit more, just running to the next lamppost and then walking a bit and then running and then walking, and you know how to do that because you've done the basics from 0 to 5K. You've got all of that built in, and it's just not as bad. But I think if you want to do like what we can talk about after we've done this 10K is, I think, training much more professionally, much in a much more kind of dedicated way to the next 10K, because we then have to start thinking about building to our half marathon
in September.
In September. So we need to put a 10K in the diary between May and September, probably halfway through that time, that I think we should train more kind of seriously for. But I think that anyone that wants to join us doing the Vitality 10K at the end of May, I think we should all just try our very best to forget our Garmins and just enjoy it, and just go outside for a bit. And not see it as a kind of, I must get my 10K PB in a particular time. I really don't think that is what this race is for. I think that this race is for us to enjoy our running and to be outside and to do whatever we want to do, and just to get to that distance. If you can walk 10K, then you can do it, can't you? So that's what I think.
And if you can, adding on an extra kilometre or an extra mile, I always think of in my mind as, with miles, I think, oh, that's just 10 more minutes of running. And I'm quite enjoying this. It's not that horrid. So just do it for 10 more minutes, and reassessing every time you get past that time. And if there are walking bits or slow running bits, then it doesn't mean you haven't done it. You've still very much done it.
You've still done it. Yeah. If you're on your feet, if you're staying on your feet, then you have done it. You've absolutely done it. So
yeah.
Yeah. So let's do that. Let's do that for this we'll talk about kind of strategies, probably some nutrition strategies and some strength exercising next time to lead up to that 10K. But we will do some much more kind of serious 10K training ahead of another 10K, probably in July or August.
Lovely.
And so we'll really do some proper focused work for that. But this one, I just want us to have fun. I mean, we've only just crawling out of lockdown. So, you know, let's just not beat ourselves up.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah,
that's good. Making me feel so excited about it. I just want to, that's the main goal. At the end of this episode, I think I've worked out that, the main goal is just to really, really enjoy a 10K. That's what I would like to do.
And I'd like to do exactly the same thing. I just want to enjoy it. Yeah. I'm going to make sure I've got a banana at home for my breakfast as well this time.
Yeah, me too. We both forgot bananas last time.
We did.
Put bananas on the shopping list.
Yeah.
Find something that's not actually very interesting to listen to and have a good time. Those are the takeaways from today.
Yes, they are, Hol. Amazing.
Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah, me either.
Please join us at the Virtual Vitality London 10,000 this May. So many people do it, you're bound to see lots of fellow runners and walkers proudly wearing their numbers during half term, and it has such a lovely community feel. You can walk, jog or run your 10K, time is not an issue. The only emphasis is on the time you'll have to yourself. Go to vitalitylondon10000.co.uk and sign up. And if you choose women's running as where you've heard about it, you'll be automatically entered into a competition to win a gorgeous pair of New Balance shoes too. What's not to love? This episode was recorded over Zoom. The editor and composer was David Newman. Please hit like and subscribe. That way you won't miss the next episode. And do please leave a lovely review. Podcast listeners can claim the best discount we have for membership to Women's Running. Honest, it's better than anything anywhere else. Go to shop.womensrunning.co.uk and enter WRPOD at the checkout to get a whopping 35% off, as well as access to loads of discounts and freebies. Come and join Women's Running. We'd love to have you with us. Happy running.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.